Hello, everybody. It's Pastor Nathan. How's it going? This is week 7 of isolation, of not meeting together unbelievably. And my prayer for you right now is that even while you're at home, a lot of you are stuck at home, that you will sense your connection to God and your connection to each other, that we'll sense our connection to each other as the church while we're going through this together. Even though we're not meeting in person, because that connection is real. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. We are going to be continuing our series in the book of Acts. We're going to look at the same text that we looked at last week in Acts chapter 2, but from a little bit different angle. So grab a Bible if you haven't already. We'll look at Acts 2, and let me pray and we'll jump in. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, and we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us your word, and thank you that we can trust it, and I pray that we would see it for what it is today, that we would understand it, that we would believe it and live it out, and we just ask you for your help today, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. A couple weeks ago, the Queen of England gave a rare television address to her subjects, the people of the United Kingdom, and she wanted to reach out to the people during the time of the coronavirus. I'm sure a lot of you watched that video like I did, and I have to admit, I was really touched by it. I found it very encouraging, and there was just something touching about this little queen addressing the people that way. And one of the things that she said was she encouraged the people to use this time to pray or meditate. And I thought that was just really interesting that she would ask people to pray or to meditate. It's good advice. It's encouraging. I also thought it's also very diplomatic of her and very inclusive, because almost everybody, no matter what your religion is or what your spiritual beliefs are, almost everybody recognizes that it's good to pray or meditate, because there is something out there that we can connect to, whether that's just an energy in the universe, or some sort of life force. There's something out there that people long to find a connection to, whether it's God. People want to connect to God somehow. What does it look like when you actually do experience God, when you have that connection through prayer or some other way? What does it look like when you actually experience God? We're going to look back at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13 today, and the text that talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit into the world. And I want to talk about what it's like when we experience God through the Holy Spirit. So we'll look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, and then I want to mention these three things: how we experience the Holy Spirit personally, and then how the church experiences the Holy Spirit, and how the world experiences God through the Holy Spirit. So let me read the text, and then we'll look at that together. So this is Acts 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues. They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some sneered and said, "They're drunk on new wine." This is God's word. So last week we talked about this text kind of from the perspective of the Holy Spirit. You know, what is his attitude towards people in the world, especially people of all different kinds of cultures and who speak different languages? So we talked about that. And today what I want to focus on is how people experience God through the Holy Spirit. Everybody's got some sort of spiritual journey. I want to look back at the spiritual journey that the people in this text had gone through, the people that were gathered in the upper room, the 120 people gathered together on the day of Pentecost after Jesus had ascended into heaven waiting. What was their spiritual journey? What had they gone through up until this point? And just to take one of those people, let's talk about Peter. And how had he experienced God up until this point, up until this day in his life? Before Peter had ever heard of Jesus, he believed in God. He believed that God was the creator of the universe, that God was holy. He believed that God had chosen the Jewish people to be his own special chosen people. Peter believed in God. And then Peter, at one point in his life, met Jesus or heard about Jesus. And he figured out that Jesus was some kind of prophet and some kind of teacher. And then one day, Jesus came up to Peter while he was fishing. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And there was something so compelling about Jesus that Peter actually did it. He, dropped his nets and took off and followed Jesus and went wherever Jesus went. And Peter must have sensed Jesus's love for him. That there must have been something about being in Jesus's presence where you just felt loved and accepted and challenged, but loved like he had never felt before. Peter saw Jesus doing amazing things as Jesus traveled around and met with different people. Jesus worked miracles. He cast demons out of people. Peter heard Jesus teaching. Jesus taught a lot about the kingdom of God and how to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "You have to enter the kingdom of God like a child," which is very interesting. Jesus, in his teaching, exposed our hypocrisy. That's a lot of what Jesus's teaching was about, was showing people that they're not as good as they think they are. We're not as good as we think we are. He exposes our self-righteousness, the way that we think that we can earn our salvation by being good people, but we're not as good as we think we are. Jesus also talked about how he is the one who is going to judge the world, that he is going to judge every person on the last day, you know, at the end of time, that he's going to be the one that executes God's judgment on people. So that's a powerful thought, that Jesus is the one that does that, and Jesus claimed to be the one that represents God in doing that. And Jesus talked about what love is like. He said that the greatest love that ever can be demonstrated is laying down your life for your friends. And then, you know, Jesus sent out his apostles, or his disciples, Peter and the others. He sent them out to teach other people about the kingdom of God. So Peter got to be one of those guys that did that. And he got, Jesus sent him out to teach, and he was able to work miracles. He actually did what Jesus sent him out to do. It was amazing. So here's just a new experience of God that Peter had then, that he was able to teach about God's kingdom and work miracles because Jesus sent him out. There was one day where Jesus asked the disciples, what do you think about me? Who do you think that I am? And Peter is the one that answered and said, yeah, I believe that you are the Messiah, the anointed one of God. You know, you're the Son of God. Peter came to a place in his life where he recognized that Jesus was the one sent from God. At one point, Jesus told his disciples, Peter included, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the disciples were starting to recognize that the way to understand what God is like is to look at Jesus. And God, who they had known about in a more abstract way, in a more distant way, became more personal to them, that they could see God's personality in Jesus. They could see God's character in Jesus. They started to understand that. And then, of course, Jesus was arrested. He was betrayed by another disciple and arrested. And there was that moment where Jesus is being held before he goes to trial. And Peter is nearby, and people ask him, aren't you with Jesus? And Peter denies Jesus 3 times in a row. No, I never knew him. No, I never, I don't have anything to do with him. Why are you asking me? And then the rooster crowed, and Peter's heart was broken that he had denied his Lord and his friend. And Peter knew that Jesus died, that he was buried. And then 3 days later, Peter was one of the disciples who ran to the tomb, and they looked inside the tomb, and it was empty. And then later, they're in a locked room, and Jesus shows up. So they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he appeared to them several times. And on one of those occasions, Jesus let Peter know that he was forgiven. He affirmed to him 3 times. He says, you know, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you 3 times, just like he denied him 3 times. He gave him a chance to affirm his love, and it was Jesus' way of extending forgiveness to Peter, and then also giving him work to do, giving him a commission, because he says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, and gives him important work to do. And so Peter had this experience of walking with Jesus and learning who God was through Jesus, and at the point of Jesus' resurrection, realizing Jesus is the Son of God, and understanding what his death had meant, that his death was the sacrifice for sins. Peter came to understand that and to place his faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of his sins. And then, on this day, on the text that we're reading about, the Holy Spirit came. It sounded like an amazing, awesome, powerful wind. And the Holy Spirit looked like flames of fire, tongues of fire, that rested on each one of these people. And they must have sensed God's presence in their lives as the Holy Spirit came into each one of them. And then they went out on the street and they proclaimed the good news about Jesus to whoever they could in a miraculous way, speaking foreign languages they had never studied before. But they felt the presence of God in their lives in this amazing way. That was their experience of God. They experienced him through the Holy Spirit after they had come to faith in Jesus. Now, there's a pattern here for how people can experience God today too, and how we do experience God today. And it has several elements to that pattern that I mean, some of those things are, you know, specific just to Peter and just to those other disciples. But some of these things are true for all of us who experience God today. One element of that is that people that you can come to know God personally. You come to know God's personality and his character by looking at Jesus. Sometimes people who are not particularly religious people are searching for God and searching for spirituality, and they're trying different ways to have a connection with the divine, whatever shape that might take. And then when they encounter Jesus, they understand this is what God is like. This is, God has a personality, and I can understand what God's personality is like by looking at Jesus' personality. God has a certain character, a holiness, and a love that I can understand by looking at who Jesus is. Rich Mullins, the singer, songwriter, has this great song where he says about Jesus, he gave love a face and he gave love a name. And that's true about Jesus. Like Rich says, we know what love is because he loved us. Jesus gave love a face. He gave love a name. We come to know what God's love is like by looking at Jesus. There are other people who are, in some ways, religious people, and they know something about God. Maybe they've been taught about God as children. Maybe they went to Sunday school, or their families taught them about God. They know something about him, and they might attend church on some occasions, and they might call out to God when they're in trouble. But then they come to a place where they encounter Jesus, and they start to appreciate how God loves them personally, and they start to experience a personal relationship with Jesus, with God through Jesus. They move from God being feeling kind of distant to God being close. So this is the first element of this pattern of Christian experience of God. Christian spirituality is coming to know God personally and understanding God's personality and character in Jesus. And then the next element of it is there's people make a response to Jesus by repenting of sins and trusting in him for their salvation, trusting in his death for them and resurrection for forgiveness, receiving forgiveness of sins and appreciating that, being committed to Jesus. And it's their response to him. It's like moving from just being acquainted with God to actually embracing God. Just being acquainted with Jesus to embracing him. They respond to him in faith. And then the Holy Spirit comes in. So instead of God being at the fringes of our lives, God now moves into the center of our lives. God is inside of us. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. That's the experience of God. And then the Holy Spirit works in us and starts to change us. He starts to change you from the inside out, guiding you, convicting of sins, revealing Jesus to us, helping us remember what Jesus taught, giving us a peace, changing the way that we relate to other people, like we talked about last week. The Holy Spirit lets us experience God at the center of our lives. That's the pattern. So before we move on, I just want to say that if God is at the fringes of your life right now, if that's your experience of God, is that he's at the fringes, he wants to move in close. He wants to be in the center of your life. He wants to take residence in your heart. And he does that as you trust in Jesus. As you trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in. So, and then if, for those of us who have received the Spirit, we need to be filled by the Spirit. You notice back in the text, the Holy Spirit in verse 3 it rested on each one of them. And then in verse 4, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues. So there's the Holy Spirit comes in, but then there's this other thing where the people are filled by the Spirit. And Paul uses that language too in Ephesians. He says to Christians who have already received the Holy Spirit of God, he says to them, be filled by the Spirit. And what he means is be controlled by him. Let, you know, actively yield to the Spirit's control of your life so that you live the way that he's calling you to live and think the thoughts that he's calling you to think and believe the things he wants you to believe. Love people the way that he wants you to love them. Be filled by him. Don't squash him down. You know, be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit lets us experience God. The Holy Spirit lets us personally experience God, lets me personally experience God, but the Holy Spirit also lets us experience God together as a people, as a church. The word church isn't in this text, but this day, the day of Pentecost, is the birthday of the church. This is the day the church got started. Church is the community of people who have trusted in Jesus and have received the Holy Spirit. And we'll be talking about that in the next couple of weeks as we go forward in the book of Acts. But when a person trusts in Jesus and receives the Holy Spirit, he also becomes connected. The person becomes connected to other believers in Jesus, becomes part of the church, becomes part of the people. The church is where God's Spirit lives. So he lives in me, but he lives in us in a special way. In Ephesians 2, verses 21 and 22, Paul writes, in Jesus, the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. So Paul says that the church is like a building where God lives. Now, the church isn't the building. The church is not the church building. The church is the people, but the people are like a building. Each person is like a brick that's being built up into a temple of God. So God's Spirit lives in us. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, Paul writes that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He writes to these people, he says, don't you know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit? And it's interesting, your bodies, plural, are a temple, singular, of the Holy Spirit. So all of our bodies fit together, different bricks in the temple of God, and we make one temple of God. So we as a community are where God lives. A church isn't the church without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just a club, or we're just a party. We're just a civic institution. We're just a charity or a business. We're not a church. To be a church, God has to live here, and he does. As people who believe in Jesus and have the Spirit of God come together in community, that's the church. We are the church, and God lives in a special way in us. Christian spirituality is something that we practice in community. We're brought into the love of God when we believe in Jesus. So God, Father, Son, and Spirit exist through eternity in perfect self-giving love. And then we're drawn into that relationship of God's love as we trust in Jesus. We receive the Spirit of God. And then we practice that self-giving love in community with other people. The normal Christian life is a life lived in community where we're loving each other in sacrificial ways. We do this together. During the quarantine, the good news is that even if you're in isolation, you have the Holy Spirit of God with you. God is present with you, and you can experience God. The bad news is that our body is kind of limping right now. The body of Christ is limping. It reminds me of a young man in our church who's a gymnast, and he hurt his knee and had to have surgery, and he couldn't do his gymnastics anymore because his leg was in a cast while it healed up. And that's kind of where we're at right now. We're kind of limping along because we can't meet together. This isn't normal. This isn't what church is supposed to be like. We're going to do our best anyway to stay connected and love each other through this time, even though we can't do the normal thing of meeting together. Because the Christian life is not just me and God on my own and you and God on your own. It's us together. It's us being connected to each other, pursuing God together and serving each other. So that's the church's experience of God and of the Holy Spirit. And real quickly, I wanted to mention the world's experience of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants other people to experience God too. So he compels us to share the good news of Jesus with other people. And we saw that in on the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit had people go out and speak in tongues that they had never learned before, miraculous ways, to other people and proclaim the miraculous acts of God to them, the wonderful acts of God. What they were doing is talking about Jesus to them. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in us too. On the day of Pentecost, there were different responses to that message. Some people were open to it, and they were like, "What is going on here? How could this even be possible?" And they were interested. Other people weren't open. They were like, "Oh, those people are just drunk. They're out of their minds. This is nuts." So some people were more open to others. As we'll see next week, a lot of people did respond in faith to what God was doing there, to that message. But what I want us to see is that the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives gives other people a chance to respond to God and experience Him too, as we proclaim the good news about Jesus. The Holy Spirit lets us experience God personally, as a church also, and He also gives the world an opportunity to experience God by hearing the good news of Jesus and receiving the Spirit too. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for Your love, the way that You've shown us Your love through Your Son, through His sacrifice, and also the way You've shown us Your love by giving us the presence, Your presence in our hearts through Your Spirit. And I pray that as a church, we would be filled by Him, that we would yield to His control and live for Him, and just know the peace that only You can give, because You are in our lives. And we thank You that You are, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.